Good morning. Okay, I'd like to have a word of prayer here. Father, thank you for the good worship that we had. It was just really nice to be drawn into your presence through songs and prayers and hymns. We praise you for that. Thank you for your church family here today and meet those needs that the sick that we have listed on our sheet, unspoken ones that are not listed on our sheet that I know that are people here hurting that need your touch. And Father, we just thank you for your word that we're going to look into, that you would speak to us through your word, through your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts, our minds as we look into your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We've been preaching in the Gospel of John. And we are in chapter 5, actually. And there's a lot to 5, and I kind of chose the latter part of 5 from 31 through 47 verses. And the first part would have been, I think, easier to dissect and put together. And but this 31 through 47 is a challenging piece, actually, but I love it. Jesus is the test of true faith. It just is in that sense. Thinking about the Word of God and about Scripture, I came across this piece. It says, when a plane takes off, it needs a control tower. The control tower can see what the pilots cannot see. The pilots have a limited vantage point, meaning they can only, they're up in that plane, they can only see out what's in front of them or what's on the screen before them. They can't see underneath and above them. The pilots, even with all their instruments, cannot see all the weather conditions that will affect their flight plan. The folks in the control tower can provide the pilots with information that they wouldn't have because of their limited vantage point. The Word of God, in a similar way, or Scriptures, is a control tower for us as Christians. Where we have only a limited vantage point, God's Word or the Holy Scriptures can communicate to us what's going on in the spiritual realm that we can't see. So, the Bible is our guide. It is inspired Word of God, spoken truth. The Scriptures are there, and it's so important in that sense. And I'm talking Genesis through Revelation, the whole Bible. One of the things that I realized in preparing this week is, as Christians, many times we lean so much on the New Testament, and which is only a third of the Bible, and we don't lean enough on the Old Testament, which is the other two-thirds. I mean, we have this one big book, and, there's 27 books or letters in the New Testament, but all those 33 other in the other are, we don't lean on that enough. All those Scriptures should all speak to us and guide us in that sense. So as we look at this, the Scriptures, the true test of faith, the question I want to pose to you today is, how does Scripture relate to Jesus? Let that get into your head a little bit. How does the Word of God, how does Scripture, Old Testament, now you think about it, the Jews in the Old Testament, they didn't have that New Testament book. So when they talk about Scriptures, they had just the Old Testament or the Torah. And so how did the Torah or those Old Testament Scriptures relate to Jesus? Something to think about. Did they relate? Sure they did. All Scriptures relate to Jesus, really. And we have to dig into that. And Jesus talks about that in this passage, how Scriptures relate to him. So important. So I want that to be in your head. How does Scripture relate to Jesus? Think about that. Well, the first way, I'm going to go ahead and read the passage, and verses 31 through 47, it says, "If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony is about me is true. You have sent John, and he has testified to the truth." So you have John testifying or giving a witness or a testimony about Jesus. "Not that I accept human testimony, but mention it that you may be saved." So, you know, he's saying, hey, this testimony is in order for your salvation. "John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light." So John was a light. Now, which John are we talking about here? John the Baptist, right? That he was a light. And he was a testimony or witness of Jesus. "I have testimony weightier than that of John." So, you know, he's saying here, hey, there's a bigger testimony out there, bigger than John. Bigger than John. "For the works that the Father has given me to finish, they are the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me." So the things that were Jesus was doing, the works, the ministry he was doing, was the testimony. That was the testimony. "They testify that the Father has sent me, and the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form." Meaning that they hadn't seen God. They haven't really seen God. Nobody's seen God, had they? "Nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent." So Jesus is confronting them. You don't believe. He says, "You study the scriptures diligently," meaning the Old Testament scriptures, the Torah, "because you think that in them you have eternal life." So they're putting they're betting on their eternal life through the Torah or the Old Testament scriptures. The Jews are. "These are the very scriptures that testify about me." So Jesus is saying, hey, the Old Testament, the Torah, that's what is the testimony. They speak about me. Okay? That's important. "Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Yeah, he's saying, hey, you guys don't come to me. You're just going to the scriptures. We need to come to Jesus. And so that's an important piece. "I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts." Wow. That's pretty straightforward. I think they're out there going, whoa, we don't have God's love in our hearts. You know, I'm sure those Pharisees were, and most all Jews that were listening were like, oh, how can he say that? "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe," there's that word again, believe, "since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from only God." Yeah, you don't believe, you know, because you're not seeking God's glory. "Do you think I will accuse you before the Father? Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set." So he's saying to these Old Testament Jews that their hope is in what Moses did, and not in the scriptures, but not in Jesus. See, and he wants them to believe in him. Verse 46, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me." for he wrote about me. See, who wrote the first five books of the Bible? Moses. He wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And so if you believe Moses, then you would believe in me. See, that's an important piece. But since you do not believe what he wrote, see, they're not even believing in the first five books of the Bible, how are you going to believe in what I say? Wow, that's pretty powerful. So Jesus is confronting them. He's saying, the scriptures are my witness. They are my testimony. And those first five books that Moses wrote, that is my testimony. They tell everybody about me. And you're probably sitting there saying, I don't remember seeing Jesus' name in those first five. It's all over the Bible. It might not say the name Jesus, but it's there. You know, it's important. You'll as we get on in the message, you'll realize that everything in the Bible is about Jesus. Everything from Genesis through Revelation, it really is. It's very powerful in that sense of declares who he is. I was just thinking about the song that we sang this morning, God of Wonders. You know, the sky, God of Wonders, the stars, they're a testimony of who he is. You know, they're all about Jesus too. The sky, everything. He created everything. He was with God in the beginning. And we'll read about that. But by scriptures, is my first point, being a witness to Jesus. The scriptures are the witnesses. And that's what Jesus is saying. The scriptures are the witness of who I am. And the scriptures for them was the Old Testament or the Torah. And he says, that is my witness. In fact, in 539 is where it said that. We read that in 539. It says, you study the scriptures, delight, because you think that in them you'll have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. So it's those Old Testament scriptures that testify about Jesus. So those scriptures, the Old Testament, is a testimony to Jesus. They are a witness about who Jesus is. I like the passage. We like to usually quote in the New Testament, we like to quote from 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. All the time we quote that because we think that will justify or about Scripture, where it says, but as for you, continue in, he's talking to Timothy here, Paul is, and what you have learned and what you have become convinced of, because you know from whom you've heard it. And from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. See, Paul's saying this to Timothy. You've known the Word of God or the Scriptures from the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture, and this is the one we always quote, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, that's Scripture is that witness. Scripture makes us wise. It helps us know that we can have eternal life and salvation. It's all God-breathed for teaching, correcting, rebuking. We don't even like to hear that, but it's true. But correcting and equipping us. And so Scripture is that testimony. And Scripture all these people spoken of, the New Testament hadn't been written yet, was the Old Testament. And they are the testimony. So by Scripture, being a witness to Jesus is how we relate to Him. We relate to Him. It's important that we understand that. The second part is God is the witness. It talks about God is the witness in this passage in verse 32 and 36 and 44 through 47. It says Scripture is that God is the witness. I like in the first part of the Gospel of John where it says, and I think this says it well, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, that's talking about Jesus. The Word becoming flesh. And what I love about it is it says he was with God in the beginning. And through him, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Wow. So that is part of the, God is the witness that, you know, Jesus is that witness that he's been from the very, very, very beginning. That 7 days of creation, it didn't happen with just God the Father. It happened with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit too. All of them were involved in creation. All of them. And so it's important that we realize that God is the witness. Scripture's a witness, and God is a witness. And so that witness is so important. And we look at this. So how does Scripture relate to Jesus? Everywhere we look. Not just prophecies. A lot of times we'll say, oh, it's the prophecies in the Old Testament that relate. It's more than that. It's all, every book of the Bible you read is related to Jesus. You know, we sang Holy, Holy, Holy today. When we read in Isaiah and different books about the holiness of God, that's talking about Jesus. He's the only one that's holy. And so, you know, God is the witness. Scriptures are the witness. The last part is the witness of Scriptures in John's gospel. In this particular gospel, you know, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. All through this particular gospel is the Scriptures testify over and over and over who Jesus and how to relate to Jesus. It's amazing. I put together a little sheet talking about different New Testament, Old Testament Scriptures, but all through the Gospel of John. And from chapter 13 of John, at the end of the book, John pours it out to show us the most, almost every detail of Jesus' redeeming work was planned by God and witnessed in Scripture. Meaning in the Old Testament, it's all explained there too, not just in the New Testament. We lean, as New Testament Christians, we lean always on the New Testament. We should be leaning just as much on the Old Testament. For some reason, I think we ignore two-thirds of the Bible too much. You know, we should be plugged in there just as much as the New Testament. Think about this. He who ate bread has lifted his heel against me. That's John 13:18. It comes from Psalm 41:9, Old Testament. How about this statement? They hated me without cause. We think New Testament, John 15:25, comes from Psalm 35:19. See, the Old Testament Scriptures are the witness. Not one of them has been lost except the Son of Destruction. The Scripture might, so that the Scripture might be fulfilled. John 17:2. But John 17:12, I mean, comes from Psalm 109:8. This one, I know you know this verse. They divided my garments among them, for my clothes they cast lots. Now, we instantly think about the cross and the New Testament Scriptures there. We think it's John 19:24. But you know what? It comes from Psalm 22:18. Wow. Jesus said, here's another one. Jesus said, to fulfill the Scripture, I thirst, John 19:28. But it comes to us from Psalm 69:21. Wow. Did you know the Psalms talk that much about what would happen with Jesus? I don't think we read them enough. We don't dwell on them enough or study them enough to realize that the Old Testament, Jesus is all about the Old Testament. He really is. Just as much as the New Testament, maybe more. Not one of his bones will be broken. We've heard that. We think, you know, we're coming up to Lent and Easter, to Easter time, and we talk about all these things. But not one of his bones will be broken, John 19:36. That comes to us from Psalm 34:20. Wow. See, We relate to Jesus through Scripture, not just New Testament, but Old Testament. Another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. Now, we think about that, and we think about him dying on the cross, and they think, you know, you think about the soldiers, and they pierced his side, and all those things. And we read that in John 19:37, but there's an Old Testament passage to go with it. Zechariah 12:10. It's there. And as they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Now, how many times did that happen? You know, he says, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it. Boy, they did not get that, did they? They thought he was Looney Tune at that point, didn't they? But if they would have studied their scriptures, they would have found otherwise. It says, he must rise from the dead in John 29, and also Psalm 16:10. Wow. It's just amazing to me. And so, to me, it was more of a challenge this week to sit down as I went through these scriptures. Yeah, I could have preached tremendously on the authority of the Son of God or the healing at the pool. I talked about faith that way. But I thought it was more challenging to look at this passage here. Testimonies about Jesus' faith. You know, how does Scripture relate to Jesus? It relates because it is the witness of who he is. It is the testimony of who he is. And God is his witness. Bigger than John the Baptist, who was merely a man, God is his witness. And the scriptures are his witness. And yes, the Gospel of John is his witness too. When we want to lead somebody to the Lord, where do we usually take them? We usually take them to the Gospel of John, because the Gospel of John is all about believing in Jesus. But to be honest, the whole Bible is about believing in Jesus. That's what the whole Bible's about. In the very beginning, you know, people question today in the book of Genesis, in the 7 days of creation, you know, the moon, the sky, and creation making man, breathing the breath of life into man. That is all about believing in Christ, even. Believing in God, because Christ is God. Christ is God. And so even in those 7 days of creation, that's all about Jesus too. Because it says in that first part, in John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, I was with him in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God and is God. He was, God the Father didn't do it by himself. He did it with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Wow. So how do you read the Bible? That was the main question in the beginning. I hope you read it with eyes that are bigger than just the New Testament, or bigger than just the Gospels. Read them with eyes of the whole Bible, and you'll find that Jesus is through the whole Bible from cover to cover. And believe that God had a plan all along. There was no mistakes, no accidents, that believing is essential to our faith in who we are. So important. Everywhere in Scripture, where God is revealed, Jesus is revealed. I really believe that. Everywhere is so important in that sense. In 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us to long for the pure milk of the Word. Pure means undiluted. A lot of us want the Word, but we mix it up with other information. At most county or state fairs, you can go and find candied apples and apples dripped in sugar. Of course, I love apple pie, you know. Now, apples by themselves are great, healthy fruit. And once you dip them in sugar, however, you just kill the benefit of all the apple, although it tastes good, doesn't it? Oh, I love an apple pie. I could brag on Andrea there. You know, she won the Scott County Fair for her apple pie. You say, where's Scott County? It's the smallest county in Illinois. But she won it. A canned dyed apple is sweet, and its natural value is diluted because something with no value has been added to it. Many of us will read the scriptures or the word of God, hear the word or hear the scriptures, and then talk to people about the word, which is good, but then dip it in human viewpoint. That's a problem, isn't it? Yeah, we let our human viewpoints mess it all up. And I think that even messes up our views of Jesus. If we just let the scriptures speak to us about who he is and believe in Jesus through the scriptures, we would be a lot better Christian. This morning I invite you to come as we sing our invitation. I always believe in having an invitation. We always should have an invitation. And as we sing our invitation hymn, we invite you to come, whether it's to become a Christian, to ask Christ in your life, or whether it's just if you need prayer, we invite you to come. We'll pray with you. But it's important. And so as we begin, and won't you stand with me?